This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. It's the beginning of a new year, a time we usually set aside to reinvent ourselves, right? Perhaps you're finally ready to use that juicer you got for Christmas, or the one you got the Christmas before. Or maybe you want to use that treadmill that's been covered in clothes for years. But becoming that amazing person always proves to be really tricky. Joining us now to talk about that aspect of human behavior is Shankar Vedantam. He's a science correspondent for NPR and host of the podcast The Hidden Brain. Shankar, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
We spend a lot of time studying ourselves these days and our behavior. Pretty much any decision we make at any time of the day has been studied. How we buy things, how we motivate ourselves, how we concentrate. So we know all these things, but my question is, are we getting any better? It still seems like we eat too much, we drink too much, we purchase all the wrong things, we behave reprehensibly online. So are we getting anywhere with all of this knowledge?
Well, that's an excellent question, Maiken, because I think it actually goes to something that's a really insightful idea, which is that merely knowing how we operate and why we do the things we do is not sufficient to change the things that we do. So merely knowing that I'm going to be tempted by candy and unhealthy food doesn't stop me from being tempted by candy and unhealthy food. There's an extra step that's required, which is the step of actual effort, where you actually say, this is something I've observed about myself. This is something I understand about myself. I'm actually going to make the changes that are necessary.
So know thyself is not enough, I guess, if we're not doing anything about it.
That's exactly right. You know, a few years ago, I was speaking with Dan Gilbert. He's a psychologist at Harvard, and he wrote a wonderful book called Stumbling on Happiness, maybe about 5-10 years ago. And the book is really about all the different ways in which human beings make choices that they think will make them happy, but in many ways do not make them happy. So it was looking at all the ways in which we are very poor judges of what will make us happy 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. And I asked Dan at the end of our interview, so you've done all of this research on why it is people make decisions that don't make them happy. Do you make decisions yourself now that make you happy all the time? And he said, no, I don't. I make the same decisions as everybody else. I just understand why I'm unhappy now as opposed to actually changing what I do. So there is that step between understanding and actually acting on what you understand.
Is it possible, in your opinion, to improve oneself? You know, a lot of times I go to bed every night and somehow I think, tomorrow I'm going to do better. Tomorrow I'm going to eat less. I'm going to go out for that run. And then I do the exact same thing as you were just saying about Dan Gilbert. So is it possible to really change things about ourselves in fundamental ways?
I think it's absolutely possible to change things about ourselves in fundamental ways. It just requires planning and persistence and effort. In many ways, it's like learning a musical instrument or learning a new language. Is it possible to learn a musical instrument or a new language? Absolutely, it's possible, but it requires planning, persistence, and effort. So the moment you slack up, the moment you let the effort go, you start sliding back down the hill. So the difficulty in this is actually not the insight step. The insight step is actually interesting and fun, and you learn things about yourself, and that's interesting. The difficult part is the effort step, where you take what you have learned, you take the insight, and you actually change what it is that you're doing.
Why is that so hard? There's always that little voice inside of our head that seems to undermine those plans. You know, the little voice in your head doesn't say, yay, get up and go to the gym. It says, no, stay in bed. You're tired, you know? So why is that? Why does our mind seem to undermine us?
Well, our minds undermine us because in many ways, our minds are not designed for the kind of lives that we are leading today. So my mind was not designed for the fact that I would live into my 40s, because for most of my ancestral history, you know, people like me would be dead by the time they were 30. And so the idea that you would actually have to wake up and train yourself to go to the gym and lead a healthy life because you're aiming to live to 80 or 90 or 100, that was unthinkable 100,000 years ago because no one lived to be 100, or very, very, very few people lived to be 100. So our brains, which were designed in this crucible of evolution, were designed to solve very specific kinds of problems. And the specific kinds of problems we were dealing with were really avoid predators, find calories so that you can stay alive, and reproduce. So these are the sort of basic fundamental things that our brains were designed to do. And when you fast forward into the 21st century, it becomes vitally important to eat fewer calories rather than more calories. It becomes vitally important to burn energy rather than conserve energy. And in many ways, this is exactly the opposite of what our brains were designed to do over hundreds of thousands of years. And so it's not surprising that the algorithms in the hidden brain are still trying to solve the problems that we had 100,000 or 200,000 years ago, even though the world we live in today has changed dramatically. Our brains have not evolved at the same pace that our civilization and our environments have evolved.
Shankar Vedantam is a science correspondent for NPR, and he hosts the podcast The Hidden Brain.